Today at Radio Verulam, we are once again speaking to local MP Bambos Charalambos. As it is December and coming to the close of 2020, this show has a slightly different approach as we look back at the last 12 months and appraise them. However, next month in January 2021, we will be back to the usual format. But before we get into the appraisal of all your work over the last 12 months, Bambos, could you give us an insight into how Parliament works over this festive period and how you and your party will still be involved with the governance of this country?
Well, I think, Stan, we're now in recess, but we're on standby in case we need to come back before the 5th of January for a vote on a trade deal. But it's dependent on outside forces, but we're ready to come back as and when required to debate and to vote on whatever deal we have. If there's a no deal, then we won't be coming back and we'll just speak in January. So at the moment, there's a fair bit of certainty. If we'd not called back, then I'll be working up until Christmas Eve, and I'll be checking the post and the emails over Christmas and New Year. I think it's still important, you know, if people do have emergencies, and to be there for people if they have an emergency as well. So I'll be out and out to try and help people if that situation arises. But yeah, as an MP, we're never fully off duty, but I hope to get some days off over Christmas and New Year.
Talking of Christmas rolls, Bambos, a couple of months ago when we were talking, you explained that you'd broken your finger and that maybe your job in your household, because you said you weren't the best of cooks, you'd be decorating, head of decoration in your house. Have you been able to do that function this year?
it's been a bit of a more minimalist than usual. It's been okay to do that.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you're fully recovered, Bambos, and that you're able to take part, even though it is minimalist, your decorations this year. But this time last year, you had successfully run a local campaign and got re-elected as Southgate MP. This was your re-election, but how was this different to your first election a few years before? And why do you think Southgate trusted you for the re-election?
I think running as an incumbent, you have your record to stand by. So I'd like to think that when I was standing the second time round, people were able to, whether I'd done a good job or not, and vote for me rather than against somebody else previously. So so I think that certainly that was, I like to think that I work hard. I've got a great team of staff who support me and who also work really hard. So I like to think that people had been quite had my track record. Obviously, Brexit was still a factor at the last election, and that also influenced some people voted. So I'm not taking anything granted in that respect. But there's a truism that people, some old heads in Parliament say, and they say, you make your reputation in Parliament, but you make your majority in your constituency. So I think that's a very true word there, said there. So yeah, just attending lots of events, being out and about, making sure that I respond to people's emails and letters and phone calls, doing surgeries, being very visible, and I think that's all in that respect. But I'm not a big fan of December elections.
Well, a late election does definitely add a lot of drama to the winter months, and I'm sure the Americans can attest to that fact, as we've seen in this 2020 election for the president. But moving it to your role in the last election, because you've been an MP for a while now, Bambos, did you have to take a role of almost welcoming in and showing the new MPs the ropes around Parliament?
Yeah, so I'm still a whip. So as a whip, you have, you're there to have a pastoral role towards some of the MPs. So you give them advice about making their maiden speeches about some have got issues around recruiting staff, about office space, about the my constituency issues. So you're there to like give them a degree of support, and I'm very happy doing that and to see how they developed as well. So I think we've had, you know, some really strong MPs coming in 2019 and who I know will do very well in the future.
Let's take it back to last year's election once again. And although the election was a success for you personally, the Labour Party saw a landslide defeat to the Conservative Party by 80 seats. Indeed, Labour won 202 seats, which is its lowest number and proportion of seats since 1935. Why do you think this happened, and where did the 2019 campaign go wrong?
I think there's a number of factors there. I mean, obviously, Brexit was an issue, so the seats we lost are mainly in Leave areas, so the Red Wall seats. But some of those had been in decline for a while, so they'd been, the Labour vote had been reducing over a number of years, so I think there were issues about how connected the party was to people on the ground. I think obviously anti-Semitism came on the doorstep locally. Jeremy Corbyn as leader came up as an issue. And, you know, whether these were, because they were so prevalent in the press, or whether they were people's genuine opinions, it still amounted to the same thing, because it's an issue for the public on the ground, who they're raising with me. Also, people didn't quite think the manifesto credible enough, because we were announcing things that were very new to people. Ironically, Labour was being criticised for wanting to spend billions on all sorts of things. And now we're in a situation where the government has literally spent 400 billion on various things, and then nobody's really batting an eyelid about that. It is quite ironic, I find, that if you'd attach the same price tag over a long period of time, that would have been seen as being unrealistic, and yet now that is the new reality. So I think it was a number of things all in all, and there's certainly things that if we had another election, we wouldn't repeat the same mistakes again.
Now, Maria's actually sent in a question here, and she said, you've been a parliamentarian for a while, but are there some rules, traditions or regulations in the Commons that still catch you out? Because we all know that Parliament has some very strange kind of traditions that to us lay people seem odd. But are there any ones that you still find a little bit odd, Bambos, or that sometimes you can't believe, oh, goodness, I've forgotten to do this or that?
You still have to bow when you go into the chamber. So every time you enter and leave the chamber, you have to bow to the speaker. And sometimes if you're in a rush, you might forget that. But I forget too often, but I have done that occasion. We have prayers as well at the start of each day. So we have, it's never advised, but you have to, you have 2 or 3 minutes of prayer. So the chaplain comes in. And if you're of the Christian faith, then you can take part in the prayers. When I first encountered that, I was totally surprised, because in order to pray, you have to stand up and turn around and face the wall. So when that first happened, that still always strikes me as a bit odd, that you turn around and to show that you're praying. But there's a few traditions like that that are quite unusual, but with anything, the more that you serve in Parliament, the more you get used to them. Some people still get caught up by speaking through the chair, through the speaker. So I've seen people being admonished by the speaker and deputy speaker for addressing them as their remarks as you, because if you're saying you're addressing the speaker, not a particular opponent, whether that's the prime minister or somebody else. So that's been quite unusual for some people to adjust to. So yeah, with anything, you just get used to the way things are done, and even though it might seem odd at the start, you just get accustomed to it.
Well, that's a fascinating insight into what is the amazing foibles that make up our very unique parliament here in Britain. But let's move the focus to 2020 as a whole for you with this evaluation. And the year has been uniquely difficult for all. Are you proud of how you have adapted to the problems of 2020 and COVID-19, and also the way that your constituents have adapted as well?
Well, I think it's been the way that the public have adjusted to dealing with COVID has been quite incredible. We've seen some real heroes in our NHS workers and the public sector workers, and everybody who's been involved in trying to help get us through. So I think we need to really, give thanks to all those people who have been out there working day out to make sure that things function properly. I think we've seen the best and the worst of things on COVID. I think also it's still concerning that in Enfield and parts of Essex and Hertfordshire, we've seen the rates rise. So we're now under tier 3 restrictions. So we still need to be careful, because even the vaccine has been found, it will still take quite a while for people to be vaccinated. And so I think social distancing and restrictions will be with us for quite a while yet. But I do think it's been, if we reflect to see how people have adjusted, then I think we can all be proud of ourselves. And I know it's had a bad impact on people who, on people's mental health, people who live on their own, people who are struggling, people's finances, people who've lost their jobs, and will be an adverse impact as a result of that. But I just hope we're all able to support each other and get through this as quickly as we can.
And we've seen that with the growth of shopping locally and all these campaigns that you see across the community in Southgate and North London, of just uniting members that maybe weren't before. But keeping the focus on yourself, Bambos, what would you say are the highlights, the positives, the high points of your last 12 months?
Well, just on a personal achievement, being made a shadow minister this year was something I was quite proud of. So I'm in the shadow Home Office team, I was in the shadow Justice team, as well as being a whip. So I think I was very proud of that. And success, I think just being able to remote serve my constituents, to work hard for them, be it in a very in a remote way, has been, and my staff working remotely has been quite a success. So I think just being able to physically carry on doing my job, but in a very, very different and concerning manner, has been the success. But I'd say those are the main things.
Just delving into that a little bit further, from one of your high points of 2020 to facilitate good communication with your constituents, was there initial teething problems? Was there, a few hurdles to be able to get there? Could you describe that process to us, Bambos?
I think the hardest thing has just been, trying to reach out to people who may not be that tech savvy. So people who either have or have English as a second language, who have difficulty expressing themselves over the phone, who would actually benefit from seeing you face to face. So try to reach out and try and make it as easy as possible to interact with them. It hasn't been easy all the time, but just finding forward has been quite challenging. But I do think we have got there more often than not, but that has proved quite difficult.
You've highlighted their communication with constituents as one of your positives, your successes, enabling that during this COVID-19 time. But I don't know if you have the data to hand or just off the top of your head, but how many constituents have you met, talked to this year, And which stories have stood out to you the most?
I probably wouldn't have met that many because, I was doing some deliveries of food parcels from about March time till August. So I was driving a van that was given to me by the council doing three drops to people. Sometimes they were very surprised to see me delivering parcels to them. But so meeting people hasn't been very, I haven't met that many people on a constituency basis, but the ones that I've dealt with casework wise, there've been some really heartbreaking stories, people that have not been able to see loved ones who were suffering from COVID, who were in hospital, and only been able to communicate with them via an iPad. Following on from that, people that passed away who weren't able to be buried in the cemetery that they wanted to be buried in because of various issues around sort of space and other factors. That was quite difficult. People that have had issues in relation to immigration matters. So somebody, it's a case that's currently ongoing, somebody who had a British passport for over 30 years, suddenly found that it'd been revoked. And so trying to resolve that, it relates to the status of her parents, but you know, she's been working in a a good public sector job for a long time, and now all of a sudden she's got this uncertainty, so that's been quite cool. Dealing with people that have lost all their income and trying to help them access funds from the government or from the various grants by council. So all these things have been things that been working hard. Everybody has issues in relation to their own particular circumstances, but these ones were particularly ones that we were quite sort of touched by.
And talking of that, you've explained it well there, Bambos, that the life of an MP is more than just legislation, going into Parliament and debating laws. It is about a plethora of problems that are handed to you, whether it be to do with housing or this or that, and it can be quite stressful. So on that subject, talking about you and your team's mental health, how do you think that you've coped in 2020?
We're a very close team, and obviously having having stressful cases is part and parcel of the situation we find ourselves in. I think certainly I find that speaking out about it, talking it about it does help. So I think that adage, a problem shared is a problem halved. I think that's certainly another good truism. I have daily team meetings virtually with my team, so we discuss this there. And also make sure I have a regular call with my team so I can check in on them and see if there's anything that's concerning them. But also I've enjoyed walking a lot more this year. So I find that going for a long walk actually does help sort of ease any sort of tension or stress that I might have.
Well, you highlighted sport as one of the key things in your life because you injured yourself playing football before when we chatted. And you know, this is something I think we have seen during COVID is sport has really helped with mental health. And hopefully 2021 might be a positive in that aspect that more people embrace it and realise the value of mental health. But let's talk about things that you've helped with the constituency, with people in the area, because as you said there, COVID-19 has limited a lot of these interactions, but you have been out there in the community, Bambos. And one of the most interesting ones was the Cooking Champions, where you took part in the scheme at Winchmore Hill Cricket Club. Do you want to explain more about this scheme, how you helped out, and how it helps the community as a whole?
So the Cooking Champions, a very basic idea. They would provide cooked meals for people who were either self-isolated or fallen on hard times. They would prepare the meals. They'd have food donated to them from local businesses, or they'd have money given to them from local organizations, and then they would cook the meals and deliver them, which is very, very basic. So you know, you would receive a cooked meal. So I went along to see them at the Winchmore Hill Cricket Club, and I was blown away by how amazing they were. So I helped them secure some funding, and they've gone from strength to strength. And I'm just so impressed by how well they've adapted and how they continue to provide such an amazing service. They're all volunteers, all based in the community, and do an incredible job.
You said yourself you aren't the chef at Christmas, but were the people at the Cooking Champions treated to a Bambos special, or did you just leave it to them to do the cooking and you helped with other things?
I dealt more with the I wasn't allowed anywhere near sort of that. I was more involved in chopping things up and putting them into plastic containers.
Well, it's good to hear that you were involved, Bambos, and I'm sure they were very disappointed that they missed out on your cuisine and cooking skills. But you haven't just been helping in that sector. You also focus some of your attention on the arts with your help towards the Chicken Shed Theatre. Would you like to explain your support for this campaign and also why you did it?
I'm a big fan of Chicken Shed Theatre, have been for a very long time. I mentioned them in my main speech. I've done a couple of things with Chicken Shed. Part of it has been doing a question and answer session with some of the young people from the youth theatre at Chicken Shed, but also helping Chicken Shed in supporting their application to get funding from the government. So I was very happy to be involved in securing funding. I asked a question at Prime Minister's Questions about funding for the theatre, and by the, if I wasn't the only MP, I think the four MPs asked a question, including myself, at that PMQs. I think the Prime Minister was looking quite bemused, like we'd got together and ambushed him, which really was the case. But but by the end of the week, they'd announced a scheme for arts organisations to bid for, and I'm very sorry that Chicken Shed was successful in their application, and they're receiving right through to March now, which hopefully has secured them until then. But it's an amazing organisation. I'm very proud to have them in the constituency, and I will do whatever I can to help them.
Bambos, are there any other great local schemes or initiatives that you were involved in that you'd like to highlight today as something that was a positive in your 2020?
I just think I went to a choir, the Our Voices Choir in Broomfield Park, and just seeing people sing together, just like before it became cold wet outside, and just seeing the joy they got out of singing was just marvellous. And I think initiatives like that, certainly things that we should all be supporting. And a big shout out to all the community groups out there that do incredible work. You know, whether it's for children, young people, to older people, people with certain mobility and disability issues. We're so lucky to have such amazing organisations in Enfield South. So big shout out to all the volunteers and all the organisations that do such amazing work.
2020 has been a hard one for Labour, and there has been problems that we will address a little bit later, Bambos. But let's look at the positives for now. So what would you like to highlight as maybe some of the good things that have gone forward for the Labour Party in 2020?
I think sort of getting back together after we had such terrible election defeat in 2019. So having the leadership contest, coming together over that, having a new shadow cabinet with some very talented people in it. So just showing that we're now a force to be reckoned with, and we're ready to take on the Tories, and just seeing that translate into a positive outcome in the opinion polls has been very, very rewarding. So I think that's been positive. I support Keir Starmer fully. I think he's doing a good job, and I think we have been keeping the government on their toes, and I hope that we seem to do that for the next 3.5 years.
So adding to your point there, Bambos, does having Sir Keir Starmer now as the leader of the Labour Party, does that make Labour electorally viable? Does it make them able to challenge once again? Would you say that is what one of your highlights of 2020 is?
Well, I do think it's... I think it's always hard when you come in as a new leader, but I think he's adapted very well to be leader, and I do think that... it's not been the smoothest ride in the world, but I do think the fact that we are doing so well in the opinion polls is a credit to him and the things that he's implemented. So, I think that's a very big positive for us.
Looking at the legislation within Parliament, what do you think has been the most important law or consultancy that you've had to do in 2020, Bambos?
That's a really good question. I spoke in the Immigration and Security Bill for the Law Amendments. One of my colleagues had to self-isolate, so I was covering for Holly Lynch, who's the Shadow Immigration Minister. So that was a very steep learning curve for me to speak at the dispatch box on that particular bill. Force and revokes from the government. I even got a concession from the government on one of the issues. So that was quite a proud moment for me on a personal level. But I was also involved in the counter-terrorism and sentencing bill, so trying to get that through as a whip. But also I've spoken in a number of debates. I've spoken in the internal market bill. I think the rule of law is very important, and I was pleased to be able to my concerns about this ill-conceived clause, which would allow the UK to break international treaties, which for me was very ill-advised and done a lot of damage to the UK reputation. But I speak in difficult time. Earlier this week, I spoke in a debate about public sector workers and about their pay. So there's lots of issues I've spoken, but those are the ones that spring to mind immediately.
Continuing this honest look and appraisal of 2020, Bambos, is there anything that you think that you could have done personally better in the year and that you will focus on improving in 2021?
I miss not having my team around me, so hopefully there'll be a chance when we can all meet together physically rather than virtually. I'd like to get more to grips with my brief, with crime reduction. There's still lots and lots of issues there, but it seems to have been dominated by various protests and various the way COVID-19 has been dominant in sort of policing and crime reduction areas. So I think I'd like to get more of a focus on what more can be done to help reduce crime and being able to look at that from an overview perspective.
Let's switch view to the Labour Party as a whole now. And of course, 2020 has been a tough one with the unsavoury incidents of anti-Semitism and the EHRC report that revealed a lot of these problems. So you've talked about the procedure that will happen with that, Bambos. So maybe we can focus on a few other things that haven't gone right for Labour that you think can be improved on in 2021.
Yeah, I think certainly looking to rebuild the trust of the electorate. So I think we need to get out there and start showing that we're listening to what the electors have to say, just making sure that we are willing to listen and taking their concerns seriously, and just making sure that we are reflecting. So I think we should use this time to look at what the public is saying to us, find out why they deserted us in big numbers in 2019, and win back their trust. I think that's going to be absolutely key. That won't happen overnight. We're also going to have a number of elections next year. So I think those elections will also be in the mind. So I think seeing how we're doing those elections will also be quite informative as well.
Ian has messaged in, and he is a local shop owner, and has asked you, Bambos, if you have been shopping locally during this festive period. But he's also added that, do you think that with the current COVID trends, where people will be less inclined to commute and go into London, do you think that this shopping local trend is good for the local community, but the economy as well?
So on the first issue, yes, I do shop locally. So I'm quite lucky. I live around the corner from Green Lane. So there's lots of great local shops that you do my shopping locally there. More often than not, you probably see Morrison's doing my shopping, although probably late in the evening. I'm a firm believer in shopping locally, and had the small business Saturday, so I went to some local independent shops. We've got some fabulous independent shops. So I went to a florist, there's a new fishmonger shop that's opened up. There's also some new delis and food shops that have opened up, which look really, really good. So yeah, I'm a firm believer in shopping locally. I think the pandemic has actually shown that people are willing to shop locally because they'd rather not travel in the centre of town. So I think even though there has been a downturn in trade for many businesses, including the hospitality sector, I do think it's that we haven't felt shock as much as the centre of town. Now, shops in the centre of town may struggle a lot more because I think people are now quite comfortable working from home, so they may choose to go back. So your business model has been based on the number, on the footfall you get in going to the centre of town and shopping in the centre of town, then some shops may need to rethink that because they may not get the number they used to get before. Because people are now, they might find they prefer to work from home more now than before. That might change how we shop. So I think it's good for more local shopping centres, but not so good as city centres.
And on this issue then, expanding it a little bit more, because The Guardian actually has written quite a few articles about how there will be changes in consumer activities, and also on the fact that less people are likely to commute. Do you think for Southgate as a whole, because it is slightly removed from the urbanised centre of London, you've got this kind of little bit of distance, you've got the green areas, do you think that it will actually benefit the area if people are going to stay home and work from home more?
Yeah, I think there are lots of benefits in that. We're blessed to have so many parks and open spaces nearby. It's amazing how many people are going for a walk in Groves Park or Arnas Park or Brookfield or Trent Park if you're feeling very adventurous. So I think we're very lucky with some of the open spaces. So, and I think we will see the benefit financially in people shopping locally. And also, if people are around more, then hopefully we'll see a reduction in crime. So some burglaries should go down if people are a lot more. So there are some benefits to that.
Let's have some future forward thinking here now, Bambos. What can we look forward to in 2021? What is there to be positive about?
That's a very big open question. Well, hopefully we'll see the back of the coronavirus pandemic as it is. I think that the virus will all be around, but if we've all been vaccinated and have the protection that we want, then we should be able to see friends, get our lives, go on a holiday, and just mix with people and socialize a lot more. So that will be good for us both mentally. Hope that will also, you know, put other benefits. So we'll see more people return to theatres, to cinemas, to leisure activities, to see sporting events. And hopefully that will help increase tourism as well. And with that, we'll see the economy slowly revive. So those are all big positives that we have in 2021. So yeah, I'm hopeful that we'll get back to some sense of normality soon, but it may not be as quick as people expect. So I wouldn't expect things to be back to any sense of normality until at least post-Easter.
One of the big problems, obviously, in 2020 has been the inability to do lots of things that we used to take for granted and do for normal. So is there anything, again, maybe something positive in 2021 that you're looking forward to being able to do, Bambos, that you haven't been able to when things are a little bit more normal?
I think we're just seeing friends. I've missed a few birthday parties from this year that we had to cancel at the last minute. So just trying to catch up with friends and being able to sort of socialise would be the big thing for me. So, I think that's the big thing. And also just to go to a football match and cheer Chelsea or Enfield Town if I can get up to see them. But just going to events, to the theatre as well. Going to see performances that can shared. Again, that would also be a very big positive. So just being able to go out and about do things would be quite a good thing.
Do you think that there'll be a positive change in parliamentary procedures and behaviours going forward into 2021? Because like the general population, things have had to change, certain allowances, voting by proxy and things like that have changed during this coronavirus in Parliament. So, Bambos, can you see a positive, almost silver lining that will bring change henceforth?
Yeah, I think I'm on a procedure committee which looks at the procedure of Parliament, and the procedure committee are the ones who presented a report about proxy voting. But it's not just about that, it's also about the way people have, the way we've got a list of speakers. Before that, we didn't have published lists about when people were going to speak in debates. So you're really at the whim of the speaker if he or she calls you. So I think some things we may retain, but some things, I think the proxy voting was initially only envisaged for people who are on maternity leave, so they could actually be able to vote in that respect. It's been extended for COVID, and I think some people have got very mixed views about whether that should extend further for people that are unwell. So it'll be a mixed bag, and I think we will, in fact, I know the Procedure Committee are doing a report looking at what the good things are and the things are about Parliament. About Parliament operating under COVID restrictions and how that's affected debates and other things. So we'll have to wait and see. But there are some things we can certainly take away and view as positive.
Does this positivity that I'm trying to eke out, to try and inject into the show, does it extend to your constituents in Southgate? What can you see happening in 2021 that they can look forward to?
I think many of them would just like some certainty, and I think the certainty, whether it's over Brexit or whether it's over coronavirus, I think having that some degree about where we're going to be in the future, both those things would actually help People adjust to having a positive outcome on things. So, I think that would be quite a positive outcome for them. But also, hopefully, we'll see more jobs come on stream as the economy gets back to some semblance of normality. So hopefully we'll have more people who've lost their jobs being back in employment and being able to earn some money and spend that locally, which will be a virtuous circle and help stimulate the local economy, which will create more jobs.
My final question to you for 2020, Bambos, is to what extent will you be able to help and facilitate a positive growth in your constituency to have the COVID bounce back that we're all looking forward to in 2021?
Yeah, well, I think, obviously, if I can help them in any way, so if they have issues relating to accessing grants or various loans related to businesses, if they've got any issues that, so if they're not getting proper response from the government about something. I had somebody contact me recently about the that they were hoping to get the £500 per week for being contacted via the for having been contacted with COVID and having to self-isolate. If you're contacted by somebody who was a contact tracer, then you could potentially get the money. But if you're contacted via the app, then you wouldn't get the money, which seemed a ridiculous situation. So I and a number of other MPs raised it, and thankfully that decision has changed, but it's not going to do much good for those people who lost out. So just being on top of things and just being there to like fob any problems or issues that occur, and there have been a whole multitude of things, and just being supportive and helpful to my constituents is probably the best way forward. And the best that I can do for them. So I'm there to serve them to the best of my abilities, and I hope that helps them get through the post-COVID era, and we do have a bounce back soon.
Well, to end, Bambos, I just have to say a huge, huge thank you for your time today, but also your time throughout 2020. You've answered the community questions and given a lot of good advice to people here on Radio Verulam. So I'd just like to wish you a very Merry Christmas and a happy, healthy New Year in 2021.